I had to go to the doctor the other day. Every 3 months or so, I have to get a checkup. They check my blood pressure. They check my cholesterol. They check my weight. They do all these different things. Seems like whenever I go to the doctor, no matter what I go for, even if I'm just feeling bad that day, if I call in and I got to go, he always wants to go through this routine with me. It's like, you know, several points on a checklist. It's just the same thing all the time. I probably could go in there just looking for a donation for SLU or something. He'd probably still say, get up on the table, you know, let me just go through this list with you. It's sort of a healthy checklist just to make sure I'm healthy. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, let me just kind of pick your brains here for a second. When you go in the doctor's office, what's the first thing on the checklist that they do just to make sure you're healthy and alive and stuff like that? What's that? Who said wait? All right, I'll wait. Praise God. You know, it's that moment that everybody hates, you know, because now, you know, the truth comes out, you know, it's really going to be shown whether you've been sticking to your diet or not. And how many people have ever said, you know, I wish I could take my shoes off when they weigh me? You guys feel that way? You know, I'm like, shoes? What shoes? I prepare ahead of time, you know, I mean, I won't eat anything that morning or you know, that night. When I go in, I was talking to Lisa about this the other day. When I go in, I don't, you know, jeans, forget about it, man. I put on a t-shirt. I don't care if it's the dead of winter. I figure it's a short distance from the car to the office. I wear a t-shirt, I wear some sweatshorts, and I either wear flip-flops or slippers on my feet, and that's it. You know, because, I mean, what if this jacket, you know, heavy, you know, peaked polo shirt, you got the heavy denim jeans with the belt, I got my wallet, my comb, I got two sets of car keys, I got my checkbook, my calendar book, my cell phone, I got about 2.5 pounds of quarters and nickels and dimes, I got about 0.5 pound of ATM receipts that I haven't logged in my checkbook yet, you know, tennis shoes, the big old clunky tennis shoes and everything, that's got to be 10 pounds right there. So all I do is I just wear my t-shirt, my sweatshorts, and my flip-flops, and I leave my other clothes in the car. In fact, this is how you know weirded out I am. I'll even take the car key off the key ring, leave the key ring in the car, put the car key in my pocket, and I need some money for the copay, so I'll take a $20 bill out and put it in my other pocket, and that's it. Yeah. Then you have no excuse. You're right, you know. It could backfire. You're looking at that scale, and they keep moving it up and moving it up. They're like, well, this should do it. Nope. You're like, oh, man. Yeah, so weight, you know, it's the first traumatic experience on the checklist. What's the next thing you usually do on the healthy checklist? Blood pressure. That's right. They go in there, and they put that cuff on your arm, and they hook the other end up to an air compressor. You can hear it chugging in the background, and then they squeeze that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Man, you know, and your hand just goes pale because and it starts getting numb because all the blood is being squeezed out of your arm and just pushed over into the rest of your body. It's so tight, man. Sometimes, you know, my other arm will just stick out in my leg and stuff because all the blood has gone over to that side. And my face starts turning red and my eyes start bugging out and I feel like I'm going to explode. And they're like, you know, your blood pressure is a little high today. Like, I guess it is, man. If you ease up on the cuff a little bit, maybe it wouldn't be. You know what I'm talking about? Blood pressure, man. What's the next thing they do?
Temperature.
Take your temperature. That's right. Of course, you know, with all that blood pushed up into your skull now, you know, it's going to raise your temperature a little bit. What about after temperature? Pulse. That's right. Check your pulse. You know, make sure you're alive. Because after they take off the cuff, you know, you pass out on the floor and they're kind of wondering there. You better check. How about after pulse? The cold thing. Yeah, they check your breath. Gets out the stethoscope, you know, and goes around to your back. And what does he say? No, he says, take a deep breath. Breathe deeply. Now, you know, I take that as a challenge. I've got a little bit of a competitive edge, you know. I don't know, you know, just subliminally, I think about that. I'm like, you know, you don't realize you're thinking that. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, all right, you want me to breathe deep? I'll show you some deep breathing. I'll be the deepest breather you got in here, you know. So he's like, okay, breathe deeply. So I want to make a good impression. You know, I'm always worried about what people think of me. So, you know, like, okay.
I know that clip that Tom's got the headphones on back there. And then he's like, you know, okay, breathe normal. I was breathing normal, you know. That is normal. That's how I talk on the phone all the time. And I wonder, you know, what does Darth Vader do when he goes to the doctor's office? You know, the doctor goes behind him and says, breathe normal. Or no, he says, you know, they say like, breathe deep. It's all the same. So I don't know. You know, like, these weird thoughts go through my mind. You know, I know these weird thoughts go through your mind too, because I read the bulletin board, the church bulletin board. And it's every bit as bizarre as that. Okay, so what's that? What's next after they check your breath to make sure you're breathing? Tonsils. They get out the little device. You know what that device is called? Huh? What's it called? 2x4. Yeah, get out the 2x4, the tongue depressor. What about the thing with the light on it? Anybody know what that's called? That is the otoscope. Otto's been looking for that for years. It's the otoscope, you know. First they check your ears, and I guess they're checking to make sure you use Q-tips or something. I never do, because I figure, you know, it's kind of like when you take your car in for an inspection, and so you hope they find something obvious so they don't write up something big on the bill, you know, like they feel like they are obligated to find some repair job. So I figure I don't use any Q-tips, because that way he'll find something, and then he won't have to send me to the hospital for anything else. Besides that, I figure once he sticks that thing in my ear and pulls it out, my ears are clean anyway at that point. So, you know. And then they stick it in your nose, right? And I always wonder, what's the best sequence for that? Do you put it in your ear first and then in your nose? Or do you have them stick it in your nose first and then in your ear? I don't know. It seems like a lose-lose situation, whichever direction he goes. But I always know when he's about to do the nose exam, because he gets out his little instrument. And I don't mean the otoscope. He gets out, you know, he usually goes over in the corner. Sometimes he has to go out of the room. I know he's ready for the nose exam when he pulls out the hedge trimmers. Yeah. Plugs it in. You know, does the little Texas chainsaw thing. You know, because I figure that little light on that otoscope, man, with the hair in my nose, that's not going to do anything. He's got to clear a path before he can see what's inside of there. So I always know it's time for the nose exam when he pulls that out, you know? And then after he goes through there and he takes out a couple hefty bags full of nasal hair, well, then I find, man, now I can really breathe deep, you know? So I'm like, hey, Doc, you know, that's terrific, man. Why don't you get the stethoscope out again and let's do this all over again? And while you're back there, you know, go ahead and get the hedge trimmers and, you know, take a little off the top. So, you know, I always have fun in the doctor's office. What about, I'm sick, I don't know. So, what about church, though? What if we, you know, if there was a healthy checklist that you could use for church, that you go down the list to make sure that your church is healthy? Now, what kind of things would be on that list? I mean, I realize we don't want Gus to stand in front of the front door or the ushers and, you know, with a blood pressure cuff and, you know, cuff people or, you know, put the otoscope in their ear as they're coming in the door. We don't want to do that. But how can we make sure that our church is healthy? If you had a healthy church checklist, what are some of the things that could be on there? Anybody? What would you want to check to make sure your church is healthy? What kind of things should be on that list to check off? You said? Growth? Growth. Is it growing? Outwardly and deeply. Somebody else says something. Friendly faces. Is there love there? Is there acceptance? Is there, you know, affection and friendship? Anybody else? Mark. A thriving youth group. Is there a thriving youth group? You know, when you walk into church and everybody in the place is over, you know, 73 years old, it's a sign that, you know, it's a little out of balance. There should be a nice diversity, and they should have a thriving youth group. Anybody else? That's about it. Gene. Biblical teaching. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Ooh. Unity in leadership. Praise God. Yes. Anybody else? The ideas are flowing. Ian? Prayer life. Does the church have a prayer life? Excellent. Anybody else? Is there acceptance? That's right. Do people sort of like the friendly faces? Is there a genuine acceptance there? Anybody else? Somebody said?
Yeah.
Am I there? Yeah. Or am I not there? You know, is John gone? Oh, good. Thank God. Laura? Decent attendance. Excellent answer. Excellent answer. Is that a hand?
No.
Oh, okay. You should have somebody check that out with the otoscope, you know. Or the head strimmer. I'm in so much trouble. Anybody else? Anybody? Any other ideas? Gene? Outreach. Praise God. Wonderful answers. Is that Shiloh? Joy in worship. Excellent. Excellent. Dennis?
Witnessing.
Praise God. All these excellent things. You're all stealing all my thunder. Well, that's well, okay. We're dismissed. Testimonies. Praise God. You know, God has, he actually does have, and these are all excellent answers, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff today, but God has, in a way, he's given us a picture of a healthy church, what it looks like, and the checklist we can use to measure ourselves, not only as a church, but even as Christian individuals, to see how our spiritual health is. Are we really being who God has called us to be? Or are we anemic and sickly and on the verge of passing out? How is our spiritual health? How can we know? What is God's picture or checklist? We're going to see in the book of Acts, chapter 2 today. And this is important. You know, I was trying to decide, is this a picture of a church in revival or just the picture of the way a church is supposed to be health-wise? Well, you know, if a church is not healthy, if they are not using these principles as a part of their corporate life, God could send revival, but that revival will simply fizzle out before long, and that's happened before. The Welsh revival lasted only 2 years. You see these revivals that spring up, but the fruit doesn't last and the fire doesn't burn, and possibly because the churches don't have those principles in place to make sure that the fruit that comes endures and multiplies. So we want to see revival. We want to see a sovereign outpouring of God's power and His Holy Spirit in our church. But we also want to make sure that we have a healthy church so that the fruit that that bears endures to everlasting life and then multiplies on and on and on. Amen? So let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're studying the book of Acts. We want to continue along these lines. We want to see what's God's healthy checklist. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 40. The last couple of weeks we looked at the day of Pentecost when the Lord poured out the Holy Spirit in power, mighty power on the day of Pentecost. It fell upon the apostles, tongues of fire appeared on their heads, there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind, they all began to speak in tongues. The crowd that was gathered in Jerusalem from very many nations heard the crowd speaking in their own languages. They were amazed at that, and Peter got up and began to preach about Jesus, that he came down from heaven, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, he's ascended to the right hand of God, and he has poured this out. And he tells them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and that that promise was to them and to their children and to as many as the Lord God would call. And that brings us to verse 40.